We're all familiar with this particular story. There's even a Rembrandt painting that's very, very famous and has stood the test of time. And I suppose we're all familiar with the title that has been given to this story. But how many here have ever noticed that nowhere in the passage does it say Jesus told them the parable of the prodigal son? It says simply, Jesus told them this parable. And our tradition has called this story the prodigal son. Even when we look in our Bibles, one might say, Father, it says right there, the prodigal son, but that's a scholarly heading. It's not actually part of the scriptures themselves. And perhaps, because we have traditionally named this the prodigal son, our focus on the story has actually been misplaced over these 2,000 years. Because we could ask ourselves, which of the two sons is the prodigal son? Which of the two sons is the actual focus of the story? To answer that question, you go back all the way to the very beginning of today's gospel reading. The Pharisees object to Jesus associating with tax collectors and sinners, and it says, to them Jesus addressed this parable. To the ones who objected the fellowship that Jesus had with tax collectors and sinners. In other words, they were to recognize the parallel to them, not in the first son who left and came back, but rather the other son who stayed and objected to the celebration at the return of his brother. I would submit to you that the prodigal son, since the parable was addressed to the Pharisees, is not the son who left, but the son who stayed. And in that story, we do not have a happy ending. We have a cliffhanger. The story ends with the father outside pleading with the other son to come in and celebrate. And we don't know how that story ends. For all we know, that son packed his things and left the next day because he felt an ingratitude in his father. A little more foreboding than the happy ending of the son who left and then came back. So I submit to you that perhaps the prodigal son has not been that first son who left, that all along Jesus' focus was on the second son, which paralleled the Pharisees who objected to Jesus' fellowship with sinners, and it was to them that he addressed this parable. There are others I have encountered in my years, especially up in San Francisco, who like to focus on neither sons. Every now and again, people come to me and say, Father, when are we going to hear about the prodigal father? This coming from our post-60s generation that questions all authority. They want to hear how the father was wrong and that the two sons were actually right, especially the one who left and came back. Most of them themselves have children who have left the church and have not as yet come back. But they want to talk about the authority figure who, as we all know, represents the benevolent kindness and mercy of God the Father who awaits the return of his lost children. But given that, and that we are in a year of mercy, I often wonder if there is another figure, not even mentioned in the story itself, that we don't really give any thought to at all. But I often wonder, have we ever considered the presence of the prodigal mother, who's not even mentioned in the story? And these two boys obviously came from somewhere. Not just the father, but the mother. And it occurred to me, especially in this year of mercy, that in the story of the prodigal son, with the father who awaits, we do have the prodigal mother who, with the father, awaits the return of her lost children. Not so much in the parable itself, but in our lives as followers of Christ. And who is that prodigal mother? Just as God the Father awaits the return of his children who are lost, so too does Holy Mother Church look to and await the return of her children who have left, who have strayed, for various reasons. Some because they find too much of a challenge the standards by which Holy Mother Church holds us to live the life God intended us to live as His children, to live the standards we are called to live as people made in the image and likeness of God. And it's too much for them. So like the first son, they leave. And with the father, the mother, who is our church, awaits their return. Some, it might be people who have experienced harm or animosity or hurt from people within the church who have left because they feel an alienation from the church. Just in the last week or so, as we watched the Oscars, again, the movie Spotlight won the Oscar for Best Picture, and even Vatican officials and spokespeople say that that film isn't entirely anti-Catholic, we are still reminded of the terrible harm done to certain young people in our church many, many years ago, but people who still live with it. And we pray for those who have been so terribly alienated by people within the church in that period that led to the scandals that broke in 2002, which is the focal point of the movie Spotlight. And we know that Holy Mother Church still looks to those who have been hurt to turn not to lawyers who line their pockets with a certain percentage of settlements, but to the church that will provide that healing and that reconciliation and that mercy. Not necessarily the priests, because as you can imagine, priests might be the last people they want to see. But the church is more than the priests. Holy Mother Church is all people, including all lay people of all ages, who also await the return of those who have strayed. And in the year of mercy, we especially remember that task we have in always seeking out and finding those who are lost, those who need to be found, and perhaps those who don't even realize they are lost and have no desire to be found. I usually don't get sentimental when it comes to animals. I mean, let's face it, dogs are dogs, cats are cats. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone who are animal lovers, but even I have never in my life given any name to any animal. It's always dog, cat, bird, fish, and they respond either way. In fact, they're more excited when they hear me walk in the room and say, dog. They jump up and they know it's me. But last week I noticed in one of the websites, it was of course posted on Facebook, a video of one of these rescue enterprises for animals in rescuing a dog that had been homeless its entire life. Its hair was all gnarly and knotted, very dirty. And they were called in to find this particular dog, and they did eventually corner it. The dog would run away whenever a human being came close. So here's a dog that didn't want to be found. When they finally corralled it and leashed it, it fought terribly. It was screeching. It was fighting horrendously to get away. And then finally just surrendered as they pet it gently, yes, and as they carried it and brought it back to the kennel where they washed it, shaved it, including all the lice that was on it, shaving all the knots out of its hair, and to see this beautiful, I'll say it, cute dog underneath, bathing it and nursing it back to health. And yet for 20 days, the thing was catatonic, just completely gone and withdrawn, terrified, terrified. A dog that didn't want to be found and yet needed to be found. And it wasn't just one person who brought that dog back. It was the team that captured it, that bathed it, that deloused it, that held it, and even to bringing other dogs to associate with it before it came out of its catatonic state and started acting like a dog to act around human beings. And you see the transformation of this dog that initially bitterly resisted being found and being captured. And I thought, what a metaphor for the church's call to seek out those who are lost, to look for those who have strayed, and to welcome those back, even perhaps those who don't think they are lost, who don't know they are lost, and have no desire to be found, least of all by the church, for whatever reason, teachings they don't like, harm that has been done to them by certain individuals within the church, not necessarily by the church. And we see and recognize in that the action of the prodigal mother, which is the church, that acts on behalf of our Heavenly Father and in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father who awaits his children who have strayed, and Jesus who calls on all of us to seek out and find those who are lost. And so perhaps, maybe because of the title, we have misplaced the focus of the story, and perhaps the prodigal son was in fact the son who stayed and objected to the celebration of the one who returned. We remember the Father who awaits all those who have strayed and waits to embrace them and welcome them back. But we give no lip service at all to the mother, the church, who with the Father stands and watches, hoping to catch those returning even when they are afar off. And that prodigal mother is all of us who make up the church, who stand with God looking for those who have strayed from our church, who rejoice with the Father when one has returned to the church. But even more so, unlike the Father who stands and waits, the holy prodigal mother, all of us, to the command of Jesus, are called not to stand and wait, but to go and seek out and find those who are lost.